Hey, this is Nate Craig, and I never listened to None Taken. Never one time.
Oh, big announcement.
Oh, do tell.
Culture War shirts are available.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and pre-owned butt plugs still not up and running. I'm starting to think that they're dragging their feet on that, getting
like,
it listed.
They're like Judge Eileen Cannon over there.
Yeah, I know, right? don't judge me. Come on, Squarespace. But once we get pre-owned butt plugs up and running, I think we'll do that for all of our merch rather than redirecting it. So like our personal merch. Oh, sorry. So I've got other thoughts and Greg helped me get here.
Okay.
So you had mentioned last week, if we have our own show, pre-owned
home
site, like hypothetically pre-ownedbuttplugs.com, you would go there and, because nobody drop ships patches.
Right.
Listeners have looked into it, multiple people, and they've come back like just that you just got to buy
exist.
Them. Yeah.
Well, shit, we should make that company, first of all.
I know, but I don't know how to do that part.
I know.
I agree with you. That was my first thought. It's like, well, if I could do that, then I could make a lot more money.
Right.
But so what we'll do is we'll get pre-owned butt plugs to be our website. We'll have the shop within there for things that don't drop ship. Mm-hmm. So we'll buy some bulk of the patches, and then on the shop where they buy the patches, it'll just have a link to where you can go buy your own hat. Because chances are, listeners already have one of those hats too, right?
Ah.
So why would I have to have like an inventory of different colors hats?
You just need the patches.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I don't need to sell you a blank hat. I just want to sell you the patch. But for now, you can go over to FungibleNoneTakens.com, FungibleNoneTakens, all one word, and you could buy Culture Warrior t-shirts. Never has so much been owed to so few for so many. How does the phrase go? Never was so much owed to so many by so few.
Yeah, it's Churchill.
No, but it's never has so much, never was so much.
Never has so much been owned by so many to so few. That was Churchill paying tribute to soldiers, I guess, in World War II.
Say that again? What's the right phrase?
Never was so much... Technically, never was so much been owed by so many to so few. Never was so much been owed by so many to so few.
Yeah, instead of by so many, I put to so many.
Right.
By so few.
Yes.
Owed by so many to so few is the right way.
Yes.
It was really hard for me to figure out how to modify that so that it was appropriate for the patch. I kept trying to change much to little, and I was like, no, that's not right. I don't even know if this is right. It's just, it really flows off the tongue when you remember it. Never was so much owed to so many by so few. Anyways, it's a great logo. The Culture War veteran logo. It's just
it
like
looks
your...
Like- Just your typical like veteran hat.
Yeah, that
you see,
it looks. I mean, it's the exact pattern of the Vietnam veteran one.
Right.
Just colors changed to be more appropriate for our political spectrum. But I don't know. I'm really proud of that. So far, we've got great responses. Really look forward to having the patches. Greg's like, I'm going to buy 5 of these patches and give them to my army buddies. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. So patches will be up soon once we have that. But for now, buy the shirts, support the show.
Don't forget Alan's edging services.
Alan's edging. Yeah, me and the boys are edging. Oh, damn it. I don't have the board's not loaded. I got to restart the board before the show. Good call, Alan. Yep. So you can go and get your edging lifestyle brand t-shirt.
Yep. Yep.
And you can get your culture warriors because, you know, we were all enlisted. Nobody asked for this, but we're all in the culture war.
Yeah, it was a draft practically.
Yep.
Yeah. Nicotine frees your mind.
Okay, the soundboard's up. What else do I have here? Natasha corrected me on something.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I was wrong. Aussies can be homophobic. I got you mid-drink. Jesse's. I learned that from a Welshman, not an Aussie. I was on a cruise.
Oh.
I was drunk. It was a long time ago. And okay. I got my Welsh confused with I made friends with some Aussies on the cruise, true. And I remember them. And then it dawned on me. This was,
it got conflated.
Yeah. Yeah. They both talk funny, but different. you know.
So is what's the term? Are we allowed to say the term?
You know, it's not probably as not. It's not exactly
not as tame as Jesse.
I wouldn't say it's
lighthearted, fancy free, okay.
But it's yeah. It's silly. You know, it's more along the lines of like you shouldn't say cracker, but like right, you can say right. cracker. I don't know if I said poofta, would you be offended?
Is that the word?
Yeah, especially with an Aussie
I mean,
accent.
I'm not.
I'm gonna put that at the start of the show.
That's really wow.
Yeah,
that seems I don't know, a little juvenile actually.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have? Yeah, you like to guess etymologies. Do you want to guess how that name came to be?
It sounds. It just sounds like onomatopoeia to me. Like that's probably like just the. You know what?
I
mean?
You know what? If I think enough people know what onomatopoeia means.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly, sir.
You say read comic books from the windows.
Yes. Yeah. Bam, pow. Yeah. All right. Well, as promised, I've got a question. Well, I've got maybe a did you know?
Do we have a game today?
Yeah, I do have a game for you. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. I'm excited about that too. Okay. I'll just get my finger ready for the button then. Yeah. Go ahead and open this link. The dark one the black, there. Yeah. Not the one there. The one above it.
This
yeah.
one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's going to take a second to load because it's ESPN.com and they don't realize that websites don't have to have that much fucking data on them anymore.
Oh, this is written by Dave Fleming. I love that dude.
Dave Fleming. He's read his full title.
ESPN senior writer.
Senior writer. Go ahead and read the headline.
March Madness brings increase in number of vasectomies.
Senior writer. Senior writer. The senior writer at Sports Illustrated at ESPN.com. The magazine, the website, is doing a deep dive, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have to sit around and ice your nuts, you might as well have some basketball to watch. I mean,
how did it have to be a whole article? This is one sentence. It's there is a spike in men going to Las Vegas during March Madness so that they can get a vasectomy and then go hang out in the sports book while they recover.
Right. Makes Which, perfect sense.
You know what? I feel like they're wasting an opportunity, though, because one of the things I've been told is you got to, like, clear the pipes out quite a bit once, like, you're done with that. And you think you'd want to, like, not be in public while you do that. You know, go back to the hotel room. You'd want to waste your time in Vegas in the hotel room watching
stuff. I mean, it doesn't take that long to clean the pipes.
Well, for you, I mean, well, Alan, I don't know about that. I mean, you're not being a very good brand ambassador.
Me and the boys are edgy.
Doing it wrong.
Alan.
Me and the boys are edgy.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. It's that takes some time. You can't rush the edging, Alan.
Actually,
hold on. What?
I mean, edging typically produces more of a result.
Why? Why? It's so gross. You're being gross.
Don't let me in this damn house.
God. Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
I wouldn't have let you talk if I didn't know.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right. Start a show.
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken. To the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of Nut Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines, we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcast today, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. And now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers. But first, it's Friday.
So, another Friday is upon us. What will you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What? What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Head on over to FungibleNunTakens.com to buy our newest iterations of our show merch. We've got the brand new and already popular Culture Warriors, Culture War Veterans t-shirts. We have the
Me and the Boys Are Edging.
Alan's Edging Services T-shirts and hoodies and sweaters, and all those products come on other things too. It's the logo that comes on other products. It also comes, well, we don't do that. No, it's
you're saying cum pig quite a bit.
Yeah,
cum pig.
I still haven't isolated that cum clip from the I gotta remember to do that. And you can go over to trumpgags.com if you'd like to join the Patreon. Shout out to everybody that's in the Patreon. We are going to be, we'll be firing up our Discord. It'll have Patreon exclusive things on there. Hey, speaking of things that are exclusive for the Patreon, we have a video up there that none of you else are listening to yet, because we don't have audio out for everybody else yet. Exclusive video, exclusive content right now, our episode with Julian and Cody. You can get that there. Already getting good feedback on that. Their personalities were surprising. Well, Cody, I'm familiar with. I listened to the Foxhole and his former iterations of his podcast. I've seen energetic Cody when he gets a nickel in him. I don't know that you have. So you were like, whoa, what's going on with Cody today? I'm like, this is
thing.
Yeah. No, this is him when the bald eagles start flowing.
Like, right.
But you know, I was impressed with Julian's reserved, how Same. Reserved Julian was. Although we'll get him back on and it'll just be the three of us and we'll be like, hey, listen, bud. We're here for your spicy takes. Let's hear that shit. And we didn't get to ask him about P. Diddy and anything about New York. So we'll get Julian back on for a little bit more. But you'll like that. You can watch that whole episode over at trumpgags.com. Join the Patreon. $3 a month all the way up to, I meant to say this, our top tier, Culture Warrior. That for $18 a month, you can join and be a Culture Warrior. And Alan, I don't know how to make this happen yet, but what do you say we give anybody who signs up for a Culture Warrior shirt that comes with
Hell
the
yeah.
subscription?
That okay. sounds great.
That's better than me washing your car. Because
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's
so awesome. Sign up for the $18 a month tier and you get the Culture Warrior shirt gratis. For now, you'll just have to DM me. We'll figure out a way to make that happen automatically. But
yeah.
I
like it.
Alan, can you tell people other things?
Yeah, so TrumpGags.com, you already mentioned, for our Patreon, but also support the people that support us. SlickGetsDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. SlickGetsDigital.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Or a box of wine.
Whichever libation you prefer.
Box of.
A cocktail might suit just as well. We got some headlines to talk at you.
Cocktail. Oh, yeah. I don't have the headlines in front of me. Have you ever heard about cocktail being a reference to a rooster and it having to do with a morning drink?
No.
Yeah.
Like a Bloody Mary kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. But I believe that cocktails were referenced to having like a nice, some morning constitution or some fortified breakfast beverage.
So the cock crows, you wake up and you have a cocktail. It makes perfect sense.
That is a beautiful cock.
I somehow suspected that was coming.
Well, it's your show. I'll let you drive. I'll just play buttons.
All right. So first one, Key Bridge collapse update. So the bridge in Baltimore that we all saw the tanker vessel run into and collapse. Divers recovered the bodies of two construction workers while four remain missing. A data recorder from the ship was recovered amid an ongoing investigation of the crash. So that's like a black box, essentially.
African American.
You find on an airplane, but on a boat.
Right.
They are now focusing on just trying to get the debris out because it's not really safe for divers to go in there currently to search for the other people that they believe are down there.
You're still buying the media's message, Alan? You sheep, wake up. Wake up, sheeple. Boat fuel can't melt steel beams.
Alex Jones had a post
Twitter
saying that World War III is already here, and it looked too intentional to him, and this was planned. Yeah, he's like that. They did that on purpose.
I have a clip for next week's big show where the guy is saying, Moscow Mitch, his wife, remember the lady that drowned in her Tesla on some guy's ranch in Texas? Yeah, sister-in-law. She happens to be an executive at the company that owns the ship. Oh.
No shit.
And then he goes, you can't make this up. They're trying to hide it from us. Like, what do you... Like, connect the dots. You connect the dots. You did not connect anything there.
There's no dots.
There's like... There's a handful of mega shipping corporations in the world. She is in that industry. So, like, this is not surprising. Like, not surprising at all. Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, lesson to learn from that is don't back your Tesla into a pond.
Yes.
Apparently, that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
Those windows, you know, when electronics get burnt out from the water damage, it's kind of, you're fucked.
Remember when Johnny Carson's DeLorean kept like running out of electricity and like,
oh yeah,
he had, he like called some, he called John DeLorean while he was having like a major event to like motherfuck him. He's like, I'm on the 101 right now. It's 85 degrees. Chicka chicka Slim Shady with the windows up in the mid 80s.
I do remember that. I think that was part in the.
It was in the it was in the movie, but I do remember that story because I'm smart, not because the movie told me, Alan.
You're smart.
You see, I'm smart, not like dumb like everybody says.
How do you like them apples?
Oh, that's a different movie. That's a different number. That's a. Yeah, are you conflating The Godfather and Good Will Hunting?
Yes, I am. Okay. I am. All right, shall we move on to the next?
Yes. Okay. Oh, a California judge. I have not seen these headlines. Oh boy, I see John Eastman. Was this University of Irvine lawyer John Eastman? University of Irvine legal?
I think so. Yeah.
Teacher, instructor, professor of law John Eastman. A California judge recommended that former Trump lawyer and University of Irvine professor John Eastman be disbarred, pending a final ruling from the California Supreme Court. No shit. Hey, turns out if you give the former president legal advice as to how to run a coup, you probably aren't going to be allowed to defend
continue to practice law
in front of a judge, at least.
You know? Yeah, I mean, so it's funny you say that. So essentially, his defense was like he was just a lawyer doing lawyer things.
I was a businessman
all the time. Yeah, and the judge is like, yeah, no, that just no. So yeah,
I didn't make him do it. I told him this might work.
Right. So it's going to go to the California Supreme Court, and it seems likely he will be disbarred. I believe he's also facing a similar thing in D.C. He was. They had 11 different charges against him for this disbarment, and the judge confirmed 10 out of the 11. So
that would be funnier if it was 9-11.
Right? That would have been funnier.
Nine times out of 11.
But relatively significant. I mean, we're just watching these people who have been sycophants for this man for all these years just dropping like flies. It's like, why would anybody want to invest anything personally into this brand? I mean, like, all it's going to do is you're going to get fucking burned. Like, everybody, you're going to go to jail. Like, you're going to pay fines. You're not going to be able to.
I mean, even right now with, I mean, do you have a headline in here about his latest pump and dump scheme? Or is that, did we talk about that on the big show?
We talked about that. Yeah.
I have a question about that. Does everybody know what we're talking about? Can you recap in case people have been sleeping?
So True Social went public with a SPAC. Last we checked, it was at $59 a share. I don't know what it is now.
It was in the 60s.
So Trump Media and essentially all the fanboys and fangirls are buying up this stock to inflate its value. And really this company is, you know, it's in the red. It's lost like $45 million since its inception. But people are buying into it because of the Trump brand.
Yeah. There you go. So he can't sell his stocks for 6 months.
Yeah.
But he needs
money. And he
has
like 80 million shares or something like that. 79 million, I think.
Now, in the past, when he's had a situation where, like, he didn't go on Troth Central for, like, 3 months once it was on, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like it would not be good business sense for the company for him to immediately sell his stocks. Like, there's a ticking clock for 6 months, right?
Right.
And at the end of that 6 months, it would make sense that he sell those to make all that money. But can't you like, I don't know how to do this stuff, but I feel like you could set a 6 month clock on like a short selling scheme.
Short the stock. Short the stock for 6 months from now.
Yes. But I don't know that you can count on him. But at the same time, hodling with Donald J. Trump, the brand, doesn't sound wise either.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You don't want diamond hands in that environment.
No, you don't. Did you see his post on True Social? I think it was last night.
Oh, the one with where he said Joe Budden?
Yeah, Budden.
Yeah, and he pump it up.
And make America grust again or something like that. He couldn't spell great, right?
He had a Covfefe moment.
Yeah, there was a couple other. I can't remember what it was. There were other words in there that just.
Oh yeah, there was like seven misspellings. Yeah,
yeah. It was,
I love that he typed Joe Budden. Like that's pretty, yeah. You know what? It's right next to the I. I'm looking at the keyboard. Sure. Easy mistake. Just like Covfefe.
Somebody's saying that, you know, Biden should just own it and start smoking joints and be like, yeah, bro, I'm Budden.
Legalize it, dog. Like, that's your campaign. I'm Joe Budden.
I mean,
Green New Deal. So here's your Green New Deal, AOC.
Yeah. All right. A judge issued a limited gag order in front of President Trump's hush money case, limiting his public remarks.
TrumpGags.com.
Prosecutors, court staff, and jurors. So he can still say whatever he wants about the judge and his family, as he already has done.
Wait, which case is this?
This is the Stormy Daniels case.
Stormy.
Yeah, the hush money payment. Mm. You know what's so ironic about that is in retrospect, that payment was completely unnecessary. Like, that wasn't going to derail him. Like, if grabbing by the pussy wasn't going to derail his campaign, that wasn't either. So, like, you know...
That's a good point.
Come out,
yeah.
But it wouldn't even have mattered.
Also, you're going to trust a porn star to keep their mouth shut,
right?
It's not the way that those
NDAs are pretty significant. But
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, you know.
I understand.
Oh, okay. Metaphor. It was an oral joke. Yeah.
Sure. Gawk. That. So yeah, pretty ironic that he stepped in it on that one. I don't know.
I play with my tonsils all the time.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. You want to hit the next one?
Yeah. Disney? Mm-hmm. I love how NPR and all the liberal rags I check in on promoted this. They really tried to put Florida or put Disney over on it. I haven't read this headline yet. I saw the first word.
Okay.
Disney reached a settlement with Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, CFTOD, ending a legal dispute over last-minute agreements made by Disney before Florida revoked its self-governing status in the district. So if you remember, I don't know if you know the history, but like Disney went on like a very shady buying up all the land from all these different landholders before
like a 40 square mile
before they built Disney World there.
Right.
And they didn't, you know, if you've seen There Will Be Blood, just like that, exactly like that, like, you know, not letting anybody know why they were doing it.
Right.
Again, not the first time anybody's done that, but somewhat shady. And then they got permission from the state of Florida to basically be an independent state.
Essentially. Well, I would say more an independent district, independent city almost, where they controlled everything, including like refuse disposal, like garbage pickup and shit like that. And so DeSantis made a big deal about it after the former CEO of Disney came out against the whole Don't Say Gay bill that DeSantis pushed forward in the Florida legislature. So that pissed him off. And he said, well, fine, if you're going to come out and say that, then we're going to revoke your status.
Which is retaliatory.
Right. Disney managed to sort of pull a fast one at the end and essentially get this board that
was being dissolved.
Right. They're able to get their members on the new one, essentially. And it's been litigated ever since.
And at the end of the day, Disney's move got nullified and Disney's going to go back to trying to make money as a tourist operation inside the state of Florida, which means agreeing to what
said, you know, this is fine. I mean, obviously 10%, I think, of
for the big guy,
10% of Florida's GDP comes from tourism.
Yeah.
That's something like that. So maybe,
well, they didn't put Disney World there because nobody is going there for tourism.
Right. But it definitely has an impact. And maybe if you run a state that has that large of its economics based on tourism, you don't want to fuck with a huge driver of tourism.
Yes. I mean, but what you're also neglecting in that side of that story is what Connor said when he came on here, where when he worked in the state capitol, everybody there hated Disney because Disney
had such a huge lobby and they basically would
there wasn't
just slam their dick on the table
over anything that was. Yeah. So this has been below the radar for everybody that hasn't had that perspective.
This has been going since like 22, right? I think.
Yes. But I mean, like, for decades, people have been in government upset with Disney for interjecting and things. So this is how it manifested. So,
but they finally came to some sort of amicable agreement and they're, you know,
DeSantis got everything that he wanted and Disney was like, no, it's cool. We agree. It's fine. Like,
I think they got to put some people on the board that they wanted and he got to put some people on the board that he wanted. So like a former city manager and a former, tourism manager as well. So, yeah, it worked out. All right. It's me. Yeah. Amazon invested $2.75 billion more into Anthropic, a top artificial intelligence startup, marking the latest large big tech investment into the quickly developing AI space. So they had already put...
Isn't that a store for like middle-aged... like
Anthropology, oh, I think.
And they spell it wrong. They spell it with... okay, sorry.
So they'd already invested in $1.25 billion. So that takes their total investment in this company to $4 billion.
Oh, yeah.
The company is claiming that their AI currently is already better than the most recent iteration of ChatGPT.
Can it accurately draw the founding fathers?
You know, we didn't check that yet.
Okay, they should double check that before they release it.
They probably should. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize how much of Amazon's revenue comes from like AWS, their web services. Yeah. It's a significant chunk of their revenues.
So what are you saying? That's what they're using for data to harvest or to train?
So yeah, exactly. So they're going to integrate that with that service and just think about the amount of data that's in that cloud is insane. So pretty big investment. I think this is, if I read correctly, this is the largest capital investment Amazon's done since its inception. So a significant investment in this technology.
More than rockets?
I think so.
At one time, at least?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Rockets seem expensive. Rockets seem they like do. They should be more than a bridge.
$4 billion is a lot of money.
That's a lot of billions of dollars, yes.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to talk about this dead guy?
Yeah.
Loser of the most significant election of me and Alan's lifetime, Joe Lieberman, Gore Lieberman, sore loserman. All right, I'm getting all the out of my chest, off my chest. Okay, former senator and vice president nominee Joe Lieberman died at 82 due to complications from a fall. Oh, that's sad. I didn't hear that part before. Recently, he helped lead the centrist political group No Labels. Look, I recognize that sometimes I fall into the trap of saying the same things everybody says that's like tainted through our culture wars and our political bias and everything. I don't have a lot of like good things to say about Joe Lieberman politically. I feel like he disappointed me every time that I like saw new things from him. He seemed to like war an awful lot. He turned out not to be a very good vice presidential pick. Turned out Jewish American wasn't going to be vice president in 2000. Maybe that was a better time with the anti-Semitism. But I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but I'm saying that maybe they, the Democrats yet again were a little too careless with their, vice presidential nominees. Anyway,
you know what? I would actually argue the opposite of that. I think that, Joe Lieberman at the time was very centrist.
He's always been centrist, yes.
Yeah, like kind of a milquetoast politician.
Yeah.
He, I think he was technically an independent. He just caucused with the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, that's how he ended up.
Right. And so what happened was Gore chose him as his VP because of that.
Yeah.
He was trying to get the middle.
Yeah, but you already had that. You were Bill Clinton's vice president.
And the problem was that he was so fucking boring that it was...
Yeah, but you already had the middle. That was Bill Clinton. Like,
but that was the idea, yeah. I think, the campaign had at that time.
Yeah.
Was this guy can hold the middle for us and then we could...
They already had the middle. Like, Al Gore wasn't, you know, Mr. Climate Change and all that stuff yet. He was he was the milquetoast vice president.
So you ended up with a milquetoast too.
Yeah. And then you had, you know, the son of a previous president and Dick fucking Cheney. That was a bad matchup.
And then you had the Brooks brothers revolt and the Supreme Court decided
5,000 votes in Florida or something like that, which they actually won with every recount that has actually been like, I know this is 25 year old news, but that recount,
They stopped it.
The Supreme Court stopped it because they were approaching on an outrageous time period since the election. They said we need an answer now. But
if you were,
completed
if you were
recounts
alive,
showed that Al Gore won that state.
Right. If you were alive then, though, or paying attention to the news then, hanging chads was like just in every other sentence on the news.
It
was
to this day, it feels like everywhere. You said it, and I'm like, we have to move on. You can't say things so cliche. Like, maybe that's not that way to people anymore, but my ear's still like, I got it. It's like,
cringe a little bit.
Yeah. It's like you saying, that's what she said, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, that's funny to you. Like, and we're live. So you can do it if that makes you happy. I'm joking. Okay. Yeah. And rest in peace. I don't mean to be, you know, rude about the man's death. He's no Kissinger, you know, but.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. He was the worst type of independent in that he always leaned towards war.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's fair. All right. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case over the abortion pill, mifepristone.
You know, if they had more oral, they wouldn't need the... Okay.
Chinkston.
No.
Gawk.
That one. Sorry.
Appearing likely to maintain access to the pill that is used in over 60% of U.S. abortions. A ruling is expected by early July. So there were essentially two arguments that the court seemed to side with. The first being that the people who brought the case did not have standing and that they couldn't really prove that.
Man, she couldn't even stand? I mean, give her the pill. You know?
No, they couldn't really prove that they had any harm because of this pill being allowed to
distribute. Yeah.
The second argument was that the court felt like they would have to be overturning the FDA. Essentially, they're saying,
and they would have to say that the judges know more about it than the FDA.
Correct. And people, you know, the judges were like pretty skeptical about doing that, which makes sense. They're not fucking scientists. They're judges. So why should they be, you know, diving into that pool? There's no reason. So
the ropes
I think not across, I think across the board, even, you know, some pretty conservative justices seemed quite skeptical of this. This could be a 9-0 ruling.
Oh, I think that part of the reason this even got there was because the appeals court level was one of the judges' wives was paid by the company some way. Yeah. So
that's true.
Yeah, this got brought to their attention and they had to decide it. And it's questionable why the lower court elevated it to this level.
Yes, there we go. True. So I mean, it's
these judges' wives, Alan. These uppity broads.
Fucking
repeal the Thomas. 20. Never mind.
Yeah. is it Jeannie Thomas?
Yes. Yeah. Jeannie or Jenny?
Yeah, I think it's Jeannie.
Okay.
So interesting because this is the same Supreme Court that had the Dobbs decision, right? So
right.
It sort of seems contradictory.
Why?
But I feel like, well, because they're saying that you can limit abortion to however many weeks. They're overturning Roe v. Wade, but then they're allowing this medication to go forward. I think that they're okay with allowing this medication to be out there, though. That's my sense.
It brings down the number of weeks and all that, though. That was the thing is that, well, I mean, ideally, right? Like you take this before you get to the weeks consideration, right? Yeah.
Right.
No, that's not it. That's the morning after pill. Yeah. I'm doing a bad job.
Plan B.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and hit the next one.
I was looking up the 19th Amendment. Just freshening up on whether we need to keep that or not. But, is that in code enough? They're not going to be able to understand what I mean, right? They don't. No, I think they don't get that.
No, it'll be fine.
Us guys get it though. where are we? I can't read.
Number six.
This one.
Eight. I'm sorry. Eight. Yeah.
Florida Governor DeSantis, Republican, in case you didn't know, signed a law that prohibits minors under the age 14 from having social media accounts effective January 2025. That's this next January. Kids, you got time to sign up now.
Initially, they tried to pass a law that was 16 and under, and DeSantis vetoed that bill. But then they came back with the 14-year-old age limit, and he signed it.
Why is that? What was the difference? Was there other language?
He felt that 16-year-olds, that was too... they should
16 and under. He wanted to drop it lower. Yeah, never mind. I'm used to the other laws that lower. I get it.
Sure, yeah. So essentially,
I think that makes sense. I also think what he wants makes sense. I also think this is not freedom. So like, it doesn't go in line with all the, you know, this is the free state of Florida and all that shit. Like it's not freedom to tell businesses what they can't do. And it's not freedom to tell parents that their kids can't have a social media site.
Yeah, so a couple things. Let me a couple details before we talk about the meat of it. So it requires these social media companies to essentially police themselves. And if they find an account that is, you know, being used by somebody under 14, they're supposed to delete it. If they don't, they can sue. And the child who has that account gets $10,000.
What?
And then
there's going to be bounties. People are going to get clever.
And then the company... depending on the number of, you know, people who are harmed by this, so to speak, the company can pay like a $50,000 fine as well.
Huh.
So, but it's on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and all of them to sort of police themselves. And then the public can.
It's just going to be like when we were a kid and you go on a porn site, they're like, you better be 18. And you're like,
right. Or go to, even if you go to like a site that has like a beer garden or whatever,
yeah.
the same thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, I agree with you that it is an infraction of freedom. And I wish that there was a caveat here where if you as a parent say, fuck it, I want my 13-year-old to be on TikTok, I think they should be there and I'm okay with it, that you should be able to sign off on that and allow that to happen. There is no
That's option. Not included in this?
No, there's no Man, option for that.
I had currently. Just I had imagined that they did. Wow.
Yeah, I know. As far as I read, there wasn't.
Wow.
However, I mean, I tend to agree.
It's everything that they say about, I mean, that, and that's the age cutoff to, you know, like kids that have that exposure earlier than like 13, 14 really can't. And when they do studies where they ask kids, would you rather not have a smartphone until you're 18? They're like, hell no. They're like, wait. Same question. None of your friends do either. And they're like, oh, absolutely. I wish I didn't fucking have this.
Yeah.
And you come to think of it, like I remember being in high school when cell phones started to kind of show up. Cell phones, like not even flip phones, right? Well, maybe they were flip phones. They were those Nokias that you couldn't break. Remember, 5130s or whatever. I think that was what they were.
I think it was 6130.
Oh, okay, well,
there was different ones. Yeah,
I remember. I was sitting in my chemistry class, and I asked Mike Stanger, "Why the fuck do you need a cell phone?" And it was like, "You have a pager." It works just fine. Why on earth do you need a cell phone? What are you going to use that? What are you going to use that for? Literally, that was the answer. I was like, oh, I was jealous. Really? You could play Snake. Yeah, I was so good at Snake. you got to do the perimeter and then down and then zigzag.
Yeah. Jordan Klepper on The Daily Show had an interesting quote. He's like, he read this headline essentially and was like, you know, I actually agree with DeSantis on this one. I feel pretty bad about it.
But I don't agree with it as a – I don't agree with government doing that.
Sure. Overall, yeah, I agree. It's an infringement of liberty.
They can do.
And the parents should be able to do what they want. I mean, they, you know,
these companies could do third-party verifications, where kind of like with drug testing, where both sides don't get to see who sees it. I guess the employee side doesn't matter, but anyways, where you
wall it off essentially.
Yeah, there's a number that represents something that can be transcoded. Related by the third party, and then they can come back and say, okay, yes, this person is verified, and then that's just like a massive data mine for somebody to hack into, which will happen eventually. But
all right, federal authorities search properties belonging to musical mogul Sean Diddy Combs as part of a reported sex trafficking probe. So this has been all over the headlines the last couple of days. I think we briefly touched on it with the Julian and Cody interview, but not much. So, man, stuff's coming out of the woodwork. There's been multiple allegations of sexual assault by various women in the last.
Are you going through the timeline, kind of? Because I feel like when we did that episode with Mike on where we guested on Hunk like 6 months ago,
right?
That week was when that news broke, right?
So one person, I think, had said that. But there have since been multiple women and men have come out. The allegations are out there that he had cameras in all of his, you know, his houses, and that he would film people in compromising positions.
Something gay, no doubt.
Well, like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah. I mean, even his ex-girlfriend said that he would have her have sex with male prostitutes and film it against her will. All kinds of just crazy shit. Obviously, he's denying all of these allegations, but pretty significant. I mean, that guy is a fucking, I mean, that this is a Weinstein, whatever size Me Too kind of thing here that's happening. This is, he's a massive mogul.
Actually, it's Weinstein's monster.
Okay. Weinstein.
It's not. Sorry.
So yeah, just, and you're seeing, like I saw 50 Cent had some posts about
it's,
50 Cent, yeah. All kinds of people are posting shit about
Don't you
it.
Wish Tupac was alive to see this?
Dude, so much.
God, he was like, I fucking told y'all. Oh my God, could you imagine? Dude. Hit him up part two.
Right?
Actually, that exists. But yes.
I told you guys he was an asshole. You should have believed me the first time.
Fuck Bad Boy Entertainment as a label. We'll see what kind of nerve I have towards the end of the show. I didn't realize how serious of a turn this was going to take. Our game is centered around Puff Daddy
oh, really?
Trivia. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen a bunch of postings on social media of people, pictures of like Biggie and Combs being together, or
Papa and Puff.
Yeah, like, and then Biggie's kind of looking at him a little like side eye, like he doesn't trust him. And you're like, oh, maybe he knew something. I don't know.
Why do you think Mace got out of there and became a priest?
Could be he had a moment, perhaps.
So, I did lie. I said priest. I think he's a pastor.
It's close enough.
It counts. That's a true story. The biggest hip hop star of 1998 became a priest. Pastor.
Yes, that is a true
old
story.
Old mumbly mouth.
I liked Mace back in the day.
I don't know. I can't remember the words. So I want to play Hit 'Em Up, but I don't think we should.
Yeah, let's not.
Okay, I'm just going to go to the end of it at the end of the show. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
Next one?
Yeah, but I'm on a different page. Russia?
Oh. Yeah.
Russia charged 4 men with terrorism for carrying out the concert hall attack. 7 others have been arrested on suspicion of aiding in the attack.
Did you see the pictures of these guys as they were brought into the courtroom?
Yeah, the guy whose like jaw was over here.
Yeah, black eyes.
This whole part of his face was that way, and somebody was missing a part of his ear.
The guy in the wheelchair that essentially passed out when they brought him in, like he lost consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't get caught in Russia doing things like this. You know that.
I
don't think it's much better for you when you get caught doing things like this in Tajikistan either.
No, probably not. They got these 4 guys, and then they have additional suspects who they say were participatory in committing the crime, helped them do it.
Accomplices,
yeah. So, I mean, it's so...
They're trying to find as many Ukrainians as they can, basically, right?
Oh, yeah, and Putin's still saying that while he acknowledged that ISIS did it, he's still saying that Ukraine enabled it. It's like,
there's a huge difference between like Ukraine probably didn't want to stop it if they were aware, and Ukraine probably may have been an area that these people were combatants in, and these people are Ukrainians doing this for Ukraine. They're doing it for ISIS, who has plenty to be upset with Russia about.
Certainly. Chechen, all that.
Thing. And Syria, right? Like,
Syria.
I mean, it's... And then ISIS posted a video saying that they... Like, who's next? And it's... It had, like... I'm not sure if Lisbon, Paris, maybe it was Madrid. There was a bunch of different... Rome. There was, like, 5 cities that it had listed as maybe that's what their next targets are. So... maybe it's the CIA. That makes less sense to me. I mean, I'm always down for someone to prove that, but it makes the least amount of sense so far.
Yeah, from what I'm aware of about the narrative here, I don't think that makes any sense at all. So, I mean, I would be willing to entertain the possibility, but
sure.
I just don't.
But like the most plausible right now is not difficult to accept. So it's like, why?
No.
Why are you?
And if you're going to use Occam's razor,
that's what I was trying to say.
It's the most plausible thing.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right. A Russian court extended the pre-trial detention of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich for another 3 months, a 5th extension. So this is the guy that Tucker Carlson tried to get released when he interviewed Putin. The Russians claim that he was trying to steal classified information. Obviously, there's no evidence that they've put out to show that that's the case. And they just keep him in prison because there's no rights to a trial in Russia. So they can keep you in there as long as they want.
It's like Palestinians in Israel.
Yeah.
That is exactly how it is there too.
That's exactly how it is. Yeah. So, I mean, we got Griner back. And I know.
We don't have any arms dealers left.
Yeah, various State Department officials have said they're still working to get him out, but it's been a long time. It seems like we should have been able to figure that out by now. So hopefully soon.
Yeah. This is Wall Street Journal. Is that where he wrote for?
Yeah, Wall Street Journal. Yeah.
Man. Mm-hmm. It's not like anybody's playing politics to leave him in there either. You know.
Right.
Okay. Nigerian gunmen released over 130 school children who were held captive for over 2 weeks. You're going to have to fill that in with extra details. I didn't know about this story.
You know, one of the reasons I left it in was I didn't either. Yeah. I feel like we've almost become numb to.
Oh, yeah. Atlas does all the news updates. And anytime it's Africa, I'm like, okay, I'm going to remember that. But I don't there's no context to tie it to because we don't fucking talk about it. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all remember the abduction of that girl's school a few years back. And there was all these, you know, people protesting and trying to, you know, bring the girls back. Right. And I don't think that's ever been resolved still. At least 1,400 students have been kidnapped from Nigerian schools since 2014. 1,400 kids in the last 10 years.
That's more than October 7th.
Yeah. What, pretty shitty.
What do they... This is a dumb question. What do they do with them?
Well, I think there's two things. So Boko Haram is typically the terrorist group that's involved
in these kidnappings. Get that boy an AK.
So there's two things. So first of all, they don't like girls.
I mean, child that's male. Good God. Oh, no. James, not on this one.
So there's two things. They don't like the idea of girls going to school. Okay. And then two, it's profitable for them to do this. They get ransoms. And so that's what they do to make money. And yeah, it's just a shitty situation. And like I said, it's almost like it's happened so much in that area that we don't even it doesn't even make a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is good. They got kids back. I like that. But people there is some.
That's 1% of the number you told me.
It is. There is some sort of groundswell in the public population there that the president needs to do something about this. But I mean, that country, the government there is so weak that these gangs, these criminal organizations, are able to do stuff like this with almost impunity. And it's going to take a lot to reverse that trend. But I think the more it's in the spotlight in Western media, the better.
Yeah.
So is
this a trend that's maybe getting better, or is it seeming like the trend's getting worse?
I would say it's pretty steady. I would say it's not either. It's been a constant thing happening for the last decade.
Right. Let's move on. Boeing said its CEO and senior executives will step down. Golden parachute, remember the Doors, by the end of 2024. So they're going to stay in. They're going to do a Mitch McConnell following a series of safety incidents and production problems. I'm so upset that my flight to New York is a 800.
On a Boeing?
Yeah. No, it's specifically the jet.
There is one executive. He was the CEO of the division that was the commercial airlines part of Boeing. He stepped down immediately. So he quit, and he's saying he did it voluntarily. So that's effective immediately. The rest of these executives, including the CEO, are stepping down at the end of the year. So Boeing had a policy, a mandatory retirement policy for their executives that they had to retire at 65. But the guy that they picked to replace the current CEO will be 67 by the time 2024 is over and they hand over the reins to him. So they changed the rule in their corporate bylaws to be 70.
Oh, they're just dancing around it. Wanted it to be 69 so bad.
Essentially, the company is saying that we had supply chain issues, and that's why we use these, you know, less
supply than chain optimal. Issues. Sorry, our jets suck.
Sure. So that's why we use less than optimal parts. But there's no excuse for this, and it's been happening.
Don't you remember the car lots where they didn't have cars because of their supply chain yes. issues? I feel like the supply plane issues could have the same. Like, sorry, like you don't get a jet this month. Well, they were already behind, but still.
A lot of the CEOs of major airlines have been meeting with executives at Boeing saying, what the fuck? Like, our orders are late, and then when you give a shit, it doesn't work right. So there has been a lot of outcry among the executives at other airlines.
I get that, but you don't get to use it as an excuse for something that people they trust their life in using, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I think there was really no option. These guys, it was untenable for them to stay in their position given what's happened.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing. Although, to your point, I think they should just immediately be gone. Why wait till the end of the year? But that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So. Your turn?
My turn? Is it?
I don't know. The EU opened, the EU opened probes into, Apple, Google, and Meta for potential breach of the Digital Markets Act. That's their one they did a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, recently. We talked about it on the show when they enacted it.
Marking the first major enforcement of this new law. Okay. I did listen to that podcast you sent me, the Underworld podcast, dealing with that. Yeah. But
yes.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. This is an extension of like the same thing like as the Lena Khan stuff, right? Like,
yeah, essentially they're saying that they were implementing anti-competitive policies, not allowing people to uninstall certain applications. Like on Apple, you can't uninstall certain apps. They're just built into the phone. There's nothing you can do about it. Not allowing people to choose like what browser they want to use, like we talked about the last show. Same thing with Google, doing the same, essentially the same things. So this is the first real sort of suit that's been brought under this new law. So we'll see how it turns out. Obviously, all these major companies are fighting to push back against this. And they got plenty of lawyers and plenty of money to do so. But we'll see.
Okay. I feel like that law is vague and I don't understand it.
Well, I feel like we're still trying to figure out how to write laws about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think another problem is that, as in the US, a lot of legislators in the EU don't really understand this sandbox that they're trying to regulate.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they can talk to experts as much as they want, but at the end of the day, they have to write this legislation that makes sense. So
that's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah.
Because it does this, feel like something that, due to the things that we've seen the outcomes of, deserves to have some type of regulation.
Yes.
You know, I'm typically in favor of some light form of it, but I don't know, like you just said, I don't think anybody really has, like, they're like, well, we can't just let these companies tell us what to write because we can't trust them, right? But we don't know anything.
Sure. And you know, these companies have massive lobbies. I mean, massive lawyers and massive lobbies. So they can push for whatever legislation they want. And a lot of times they get their way.
I feel like the way it always settles is like those people, because I think the people I trust the most on this are the Tristan Harris and the Undivided Attention people. And I think when all this stuff goes through, they're always saying like, look, we're happy with this. We like this. It can probably be perfected better and we'll see how they can even apply what they're talking about doing. But those guys have such a concern about the potentially, what's it called? Existential threat of
AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well as the damage of social media to young people, et cetera. I feel like those guys and then the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, are good people to keep in your circle if you want to be up to speed on this stuff, because they're kind of on the forefront of all this new legislation trying to regulate that industry. So, stay close to those guys if you want to know what's going on there.
I still don't agree that charging Apple with antitrust is the appropriate over the iPhone. Like, I still can't buy into that. Like,
what did you think of that guy in Underworld?
I understand his point. He said that Lena Khan exists because of this moment, and those types of people around the world are being put into that position because ultimately we want to see people not just sit idly by while we have a regulatory apparatus in our government. I still think that she made her cards too apparent with her Amazon like legal thesis or whatever, that I don't really trust her on this. And like I said, you know, so everything that we just agreed on that, like, yeah, you know, hopefully you can figure out a way to perfect that, but you know, not in a do something kind of way, but we need to have the best attempt we can at getting something written down about regulating this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd prefer as light as necessary, but whatever is necessary. And I just don't think that, as a separate thought, I don't think that suing Apple over the iPhone being a monopoly is the right. That's just, that seems like a misapplication. That's a miss, dog.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I found that episode very interesting to listen to. It's very much not what their usual content they put out over there is.
Yeah, that guy's book sounds interesting.
It does. I'm probably going to pick it up. I just picked up that book that Cody recommended in yesterday.
Oh, good. Three Dangerous Men.
Three Dangerous
Men. I just got Sapolsky's new book, Determined.
Robert Sapolsky.
Yeah. Did you listen to his episode with Sam?
I believe so.
It was really good. Yeah. Determinism.
Determinism. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes me
feel
so.
Speaking of people that we heard on Sam, we're in other news now. This first headline is in New York Times. I posted this on social this morning.
That's what made me go grab this, actually.
Yeah. Daniel Kahneman passed. He was 90 years old. I didn't realize that he was that, you know, that he was old. But dude, that guy has just been such a pillar in the philosophical community. And then the things that he talked about, like risk aversion and how people, like if you...
Behavioral economics.
Yeah. If you go to a slot machine and you win $100, it doesn't feel... Or if you go to a slot machine and lose $100, it feels way worse to lose than it does to win.
Right. Like there's, and we're wired to remember losses more than we celebrate wins.
Yeah. And he was the first guy to sort of delve into that sphere. Yeah. He wasn't an economist. He was a philosopher by training. But
him and that other guy wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Thinking Fast and Slow. Yeah. So just an absolute, I mean, pillar in the philosophical community.
I think he really shaped... I feel like it didn't really grab traction in the culture until like the 2010s, but maybe that was and I feel like that a lot of our thinking that shifted during that time period was because of, I mean, I never heard the phrase behavioral economics until like maybe 2013.
Well, he practically invented
it. I think he did. Yeah.
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 So, but it makes sense when you break those words down, you're like, oh yeah. Okay. That is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So super interesting. You know, Sam used to talk about him all the time. That's where I first encountered him, I want to say. But yeah, it's, I mean, a tragic loss, but you know, a good life lived.
90,
he definitely accomplished a lot in his 90 years on the planet and had, as you said, a huge impact on culture broadly.
It's so weird to think that 90 is not enough, right?
Yeah. So safe home, Daniel Kahneman.
There we go.
All right. We have another one. This seemed
like breaking news the other day.
Yeah. So this is, you put this in. I hadn't seen this. It's from the Washington Post. Qatar Royal invested about $50 million in pro-Trump network Newsmax. So apparently there's documents.
Wait. I want you to talk about it.
Yeah.
Think of it in this context.
Okay.
What do people always compare Trump to? Like a mob boss, right? It's like, hey, you don't give the boss the money. Why don't you go take care of his brother-in-law? His brother-in-law will make sure he's square.
Take care of the big man.
Yeah. 10%.
Yeah. So there have been documents that have been released now that show this. Pretty surprising. Also, apparently there were attempts by the Qataris to sort of shape the news coverage at Newsmax, although Newsmax was pretty much already on board with what they were trying to sell.
$50 million goes a long way with upstart news service in 2020.
Oh yeah, they're relatively small compared to like your Fox Newses of the world.
Yeah.
And actually when Fox sort of started to pivot away from Trump, a lot of his supporters went over there to Newsmax or OAN.
And they had quite a reason to not shift their style at that time.
Right. But I mean, you just add this to
this would be a scandal with any other president.
Absolutely.
And this is like, who fucking cares?
Nobody even knows.
He paid a porn star $140,000.
Right. You know, the Saudis gave Kushner $2 billion. Like it's just piled on to the rest.
I said brother-in-law just by accident earlier. Son-in-law. Yeah. That literally happened.
Yeah.
God damn it.
That happened.
That's not the only Newsmax headline I found this week.
Oh, do tell.
Go open that one. Did you see the next one? Is it did you know? Mm-hmm. Did you know? You're never gonna guess who the financial advisor was at Newsmax in 2021.
Fabio?
Yes, the hair model. Yes.
Fuck?
Yeah, the Harlequin book cover model.
Fabio Finance's former model shares his top COVID-19 stock picks. So he was sharing, he bought like BioNTech and Moderna. And
if you go down to like the second paragraph, it says something where it's like, this handsome model has been quite a celebrity stock picker.
Yes, it does say that.
What the fuck, man? People don't forget.
That's wild. I haven't even thought of Fabio forever. He used to be on the cover of every romance novel. That's
and they do his house on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yes. Yeah. He's got that famous hair.
Yes.
And that jawline. Mm-hmm. Still looking pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Not bad. Anyways, no, that was an entertaining headline. I was not aware.
Well, speaking of an entertaining headline, why don't you go ahead and open up these. Did you get a chance to look at these?
Yes, I did. Well, so you put the first one, I put the second
one. I was going to say, what's the second one? Okay.
All right, so this first one is from space.com.
DARPA space.com. We missed it on that one. We should have got the space.com.
Should have parked there.
Yeah.
We could have squatted on it. DARPA picks Northrop Grumman to develop lunar railroad concept. The proposed rail
system. Whoa. Don't go too fast. A monorail?
A lunar rail.
A monorail.
A monorail, yes. So that's at this point, it's sort of just a concept. They don't actually have, obviously, working prototypes.
I mean, they picked Northrop Grumman for their moon railroad.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the place to go.
They're doing high-speed rail on the moon now. They can't do it in, like, they got it. This is a monkeys and pedestals problem. They're like,
really,
we can't even do light rail at home. You want to go do it on the fucking moon?
We can't even get light rail between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
No, it's like, it's a moondoggle.
They managed to connect like Fresno and fucking.
What's the hardest part of light of high speed rail? This is not a joke. That's not. It sounds like a setup for a punchline. What's the hardest part of high speed rail?
The property that it runs through.
Because no. Elevation change. Like from an engineering mindset, the hardest part is getting it to work going uphill. Well, if you want to go from LA to San Francisco, you have to deal with the San Bernardino Mountains. So, think of driving up and down the Grapevine and then getting down in the Central Valley. And where did they start? Fresno, the flattest part. And that's taken like 60 times their initial budget.
Their budget, yeah. I mean, the second part that's hard about it is nobody wants it in their backyard, right? NIMBY. Right. And so they have a difficult time procuring the land to run the railroad through.
Owens Valley by the Chinaman Reservoir or whatever it was called, China Lake. What did I say? Jesus. God damn it.
So in related news, Ars Technica, I actually heard about this the same week. Mining helium on the moon has been talked about forever. Now a company will try.
Talk about a moondoggle.
So we've talked about helium on the show before, how it's in short supply, how it's used to make superconductors work because they have to be super cold, like MRI machines need helium to work.
And we don't have a way of manufacturing it. It has to
be. We don't. Yeah. And we have to essentially take it out of the ground the same way you acquire like natural gas.
Yeah.
And there's limited supplies of that. The U.S. actually has like a stockpile of helium.
There's a huge underground network that's the giant tunnel between like Oklahoma and Texas that we have.
Right. So they're apparently the sun's.
There's a lot of helium in the sun.
Right. And the waves that hit the moon, because it doesn't have an atmosphere.
Okay.
It ends up creating helium pockets on the moon. Huh. And so a company is seriously considering. So these are people from Blue Origin. So Amazon, SpaceX kind of thing.
SpaceX.
So two former Blue Origin guys are trying to do this. They think that they can go to the moon and mine helium. And if that were to be the case, I mean, we've talked before about like mining asteroids and things like that, because there's a lot of rare earth. I guess it wouldn't be earth anymore. Rare minerals and things like that in asteroids. But they think they can actually pull this off. So then you would need the railroad, you know, that's how you're going to.
No. So then now on the moon, what do we have? We have mining and trains and railroads. So what else are we going to have that inevitably there's going to be moon train robberies, right? Which means we're going to need moon sheriffs. And there's probably going to be moon hangings. Space cowboys. Yes. Can you even hang somebody in 1/8 Earth's gravity?
I don't think you can.
Can you? No. You know what? This is a dumb question I've been meaning to ask somebody.
Okay.
In 1/8 Earth's gravity, could you jump so hard that you float away?
No, there's too much gravity.
1/8 is still strong enough?
Still too much. Yeah.
I bet it would be scary. I bet at some point I'm going up too high here.
There's still too much mass. Yeah, you would still come back.
What if you're really strong?
However,
what if like Adrian Peterson did it?
You know, I was maybe.
All right.
Those thighs, man.
Yeah.
You know, what I was just thinking is superconductors work in the cold. If you're on the dark side of the moon, it's very cold. There's always been this dream to make railways with superconductors that are effectively frictionless.
Oh.
So you could do that.
Superconductors on the moon?
Superconductors on the moon, then you get your railway.
Yeah.
And then because there's less gravity, you don't need as much force to move things around. This all makes perfect sense now, actually.
I think
this is a good It's a good plan.
We gotta do. We gotta do like frontier town. Frontier towns up on the moon.
We gotta try and get a SPAC together so we can buy this company. I think
we're supposed to say that word anymore.
Okay, I think that's all for other news. I don't know what you have here that I cannot see before media
diet. That's later.
Not okay, see. All right, not see.
Can't slip those past me, Alan.
I know. You want to get into media?
Yeah, what have you been watching?
All right, so I watched Ricky Stenicki on Prime, which you recommended.
What'd you think of it?
Dude, that is the fucking funniest movie I've seen in a very long time. Did you notice the scene in the coffee shop where you're like, oh, they're doing a Seinfeld thing, right?
Yeah. Well, remind me. It's been a couple of weeks.
So in the beginning, when they're kind of hashing out what to do, like what their plan's going to be, they're all sitting in like a booth at a coffee shop.
Oh, I didn't notice that. It was like the Seinfeld seating.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Exactly. Was the camera like right over here?
Yes.
Damn it.
I was like, oh, shit, they're doing Seinfeld
right
now.
That's so funny.
Santino is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
the whole concept is hilarious. John Cena, dude. Holy fuck. I cannot recommend that movie enough. If you got Prime, take a couple hours and watch it. It is a good fucking time.
Especially in like a post hangover world, like this is what passes for a very good comedy. You don't have to like critique it too much. There's things you're gonna hate about it. Yeah, sure.
It's just funny.
It's annoying, but it's funny. Yeah.
Yes.
You like None Taken.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will. I'll probably watch it again, every now and then.
Nice.
Keep it in the rotation.
So you watched Dunes?
I watched Dune Dos. I think I sort of briefly mentioned that on the last show with Tim and Allison over there in Concord. It was an awesome movie. The sound is very impressive. I recommend you watch it in at least an IMAX theater that has good sound because it's a huge part of the movie. Man, just a really great storyline, really well done, very impressive. I didn't read the book, so I don't have the background that you have with this story.
I almost spoiled it. It hasn't been long enough. I'm not going to do that yet. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine with the way they changed the storyline.
Okay. Okay.
And I think it makes sense because there's too many books.
A very complicated story.
The thing is, at the end of the first series of books that they took, that it felt like they were making into two movies. At the end of the first series of books, it's very open-ended, but you do feel like a story has been finished, right? And then there is a new thing starting, but a story has been finished. You can, if you want to, and if the writer continues it, but you'd feel satisfied. And I didn't feel that way leaving this movie, and I don't like that about it. That said, I'm right here, and they're going to make five movies. So if I was watching this movie, and then somebody said, well, do you want to watch the next one? I'd be like, oh, well, right now? Yes. But right now, I don't like that the whole story hasn't been told, and it feels like it stopped at a point that, as someone who has read the books, doesn't like that version of how they did it. But they did it well. And this different version, I think, will be very satisfying in the context of the finished project.
Nice. Okay.
What do you think of the casting? What did you think of the casting of the Emperor?
I thought it was good.
Was times where he sounded like him. He sounded like the actor.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
There was times where I was like, okay, you're just going to talk like you. You didn't do a voice. You didn't care that you're just going to be like the cliche you voice for this role. Okay, that's fine. But it doesn't take you out of it. It doesn't. Briefly, maybe.
The one thing that was weird to me is they had like weapons, like guns and stuff, but they primarily used like melee hand-to-hand combat with swords.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you just shoot people if you have that technology
because
available?
It attracts the worms.
The
shields attracts the worms. I think
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Unless you're willing to risk it. You don't want to use those types of weapons.
You want to ride the worms, man. It looked like a good
time. Yeah, they turn them into a fucking school bus, right? Or a high-speed rail. We have we got worms at home. Why would you have rail? They should put worms on the moon.
Indeed. What about you, man? What have you been consuming?
I have two things to talk about. One, the series that I think either you or Tim recommended, The Gentlemen. So it's a series largely based off of everything that Guy Ritchie's done, because everything Guy Ritchie's done is the same thing. It's we're British, we do crime, but isn't it sophisticated and proper?
Proper gangsters.
Yes. So it's a series off that. And it's very much a series specifically off of, I think, the 2019 movie, The Gentleman, with Matthew McConaughey and Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
It's good if you like Guy Ritchie. If you don't like Guy Ritchie, this is probably one of the worst things you could possibly watch because it is aggressively Guy Ritchie told over a 48 to 50 minute episode. So it's like, you know, it's TV episodic Guy Ritchie, which is a very obnoxious type of Guy Ritchie. Now he's the producer, but I mean, people have been copying his style. There's people that are experts at that. Same with Tarantino, right?
Yeah,
so it's good if you like those crime stories. There's times where like by like the fifth episode, you're like, wow, it's just every episode is like this week on The Gentlemen, something happens that will be resolved by the end of the episode. And at the end of it, nothing's different because the person that made you do this backstabbed you and that person backstabbed that person. So you double cross the second person to kill the first one. And at the end of the day, you're right where you started. Like, and that's fine, but like, it kind of feels like an episode of Matlock or I guess Suits from what I've been told.
Okay.
I don't watch
is
Suits.
Is it very, cause usually his movies are very like, almost like music video,
yeah.
The way the action
proceeds. Yeah, dude, there's this like one that. Opening shot for as episode five. The opening shot starts off on a like with like you know a song intro and a somebody hitting a golf ball with a driver, and it's very clearly the male protagonist. And then it lands on the green, bounces into the cup and lips the cup and rolls out like 2 feet from it, right? Next shot, he goes, they're on the green and his partner is hitting that ball and he's hitting the one that's like 6 feet in front of the green. And that's a huge continuity error. Like, how do you fuck up who, like,
which ball?
I mean, if you've ever played golf, which apparently, you know, a refined gentleman does, you're like, well, that's his shot. Like if you were watching a game of golf, you'd be like, why is the other guy doing that? Right. Like you would remember that. And just cause you're watching a movie, that part of your brain doesn't like,
yeah,
that would bug you.
Doesn't turn off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they never like sort that out. It's just,
no, they just didn't pay attention to that, but they do a better job than the, Lady Ballers guys did that.
Oh my God.
The Some More News, podcast did or video YouTube did a great 2-part series on the Ben Shapiro, Jeremy Boring Daily Wire cinematic universe.
Yes.
This all came up. I was not going to watch Lady Ballers and I wasn't going to watch a 2-part episode critiquing Lady Ballers, but, Tim sent me a DM saying like, what do you think of this? And I just said like, that's hilarious. They're doing a movie making fun of, people saying they're trans.
Right.
And I was like, you know, if that's what they want to do with A, their money, B, their time, I think they should. Cause I would like tie up your time and resources on something. Yeah. Like I think you're misguided.
It was so spectacularly bad.
Yeah, like, but the people that are like in the cult of like, ha ha ha, everything they do is funnier to me because it owns the libs. Say, I mean, and you know, it's the same reason I don't really laugh much at Saturday Night Live either, or like Stephen Colbert Show, because it's like this isn't a funny version of doing this. You
know. I mean, Ted Cruz is even in that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
They did a 2-part. Podcast on it. The first part is very funny. They just poke at all the sort of the different iterations of media that they're producing over there at Daily Wire,
culminating with this Lady Ballers movie being like their
flagship. Second one is just a deep dive into Lady Ballers, which wasn't as fun because the movie is so bad.
I know. Natasha was in the other room and she's like, are you gonna watch this movie? She's like, I'm like, no. And she's like, why are you watching like a film critique
movie about the movie?
Well, no, they're like talking about like continuity errors and like story arcs and all this shit. But that's because the guy, that guy with a beard at the Daily Wire.
Cody. Oh no. Boring guy.
One of them. No, the guy with the beard, the black beard, but whatever. Michael Knowles or one of those guys. He was like, I hope people give us a real Matt Walsh.
Oh, yeah. Critique.
He's like, I hope people give us like a critique from like an artistic perspective, what they think of this. So that
they were
like,
bragging about their audience score on Rotten Tomatoes versus the critic score.
Right. Yeah. Which is like, dude, you did a culture war. Like, of course your warriors went and voted. Like, Anyways, I did start watching a movie that I did not finish. Turns out it wasn't as interesting as it sounds. So I don't think I'm going to ruin anything for you guys. It's for free on Amazon. I hate when people say for free. You can't be for something if it's nothing. It's free. Sorry. Anytime in ads, like professional ads will say, you get this for free. I'm like, no, you get it free. It can't be for nothing. Like, okay, anyways. I watched a movie free on Amazon called Butt Boy.
This is
not about Puff Daddy, which is a little foreshadowing for our upcoming game. Okay. Look, man, they tell you a little bit about the movie and they show you a trailer and it's kind of compelling. Here's the premise. Ready?
I'm ready. Do tell.
A man is being suspected by, he's being accused, and a detective is looking into some mysterious disappearances. They believe that a man is hiding things in his butt. It's like a horror movie where it's a little improbable, but it's like, you know, like vaginas don't have teeth, but that's a good movie, right? So Butt Boy, so like, it starts off with like a remote control, and the lady's like, where's the remote control? His wife is like, where's the remote control? It starts, I think he went to the proctologist and he liked it. And he's like, why don't you put more things in there? And he does his shampoo bottle, the remote control. It's kind of like that Adam Sandler song from his first tape.
It's supposed to be a comedy, I take it.
It's like a comedy horror detective movie. That's the problem. It doesn't know what kind of movie it's going to be. And every scene is too long. So you're like, you know, if you did this in like 30 minutes, I'd watch this, but it's an hour, right? 30. There's a part where like a dog and a child go missing, and it's implied that, you know, that's where they are.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's not good. But
yeah, it sounds pretty fucking bad.
You can watch the first 5 minutes of it and you'll laugh.
Okay. All right.
In case you forgot the name, it's Butt Boy.
Yeah, I did not forget. Okay. The name.
Right.
Yeah,
do you want to play, unrelated to that, do you want to play a game?
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it.
So I have Puff Daddy or Diddy trivia for you, Alan.
Okay.
And the game ripped from the day's headlines.
Ripped.
Yeah, so to speak. phrasing. Okay, this is give you a softball on the first one. What is Diddy, aka, as we first learned of him, Puff Daddy's real name?
Sean Combs.
That's right. Sean Puffy Combs. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's where the trivia.
Was that just because he wore puffer jackets? Because he wasn't like...
Oh, well, Alan, here is the second follow-up question. How did he get his name?
I'm going to say puffer jackets, but I don't know.
It was not that. It was peewee football, and he was a little tyke, and with his shoulder pads on, he looked like he was puffed up and got the nickname Puff Daddy.
All right. I can
Puff
see that.
Daddy. Puff Probably Daddy. Had nothing to do with smoking pot, right? That sounds like a story you tell, like, a magazine reporter. Like, not from smoking weed.
Or maybe he knew people from Australia. He thought that was cool.
Puff? Oh, we don't. That's going to be referring to something that nobody knows, Alan. That is not in the show. I was texted about this. Her uncle listens. And yeah. I was like, LOL, it's in the Patreon. If you want to get that joke, join the Patreon. It's $3.
Yeah,
come on.
There you go.
We're putting our heart on the line. You can give us $3. Come on. It's not for nothing. You know, and if you do $19, you get a shirt that says Culture Warrior, which you clearly are. You
Hell yeah.
seem to be a culture warrior. Bad Boy. You want to guess the Bad Boy origin?
I mean, it just seemed like it was obvious, but I guess he was a bad boy.
No, you're wrong, actually. So you get points for the first one with his name. Bad Boy is in reference to what he would tell his male lovers, because he's gay, Alan, remember?
All right.
Yeah.
He would say bad.
He'd say, you're a bad boy. Yeah. And then he named his record label that.
Wow.
All right. So the next trivia question. Why did Mace mumble so much? Do you want to take a guess based off that last answer?
Were there things in his
mouth? Yeah, because Puffy's balls were in his mouth. Yeah. This is Puff Daddy trivia.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You couldn't tell in the studio, and then he had to mimic it by putting marshmallows in his mouth for his shows. Chubby Bunny. Yeah.
Like the Godfather.
Yeah, exactly. Cotton balls, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? People keep saying Puffy's gay, but he wasn't gay. It's not gay. It's blackmail, Alan. Sometimes you got to fuck a guy if you want to have footage of him fucking a guy so that you can have blackmail over him.
Sure. Sometimes you just got to do these things.
You know what? If you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. He's a businessman. He's a go-getter, you know?
He's doing business things.
Yeah. I got to get my blackmail one way or the other. And then it just gets carried away, and before you know it, you're filming your wife fucking a male prostitute.
You know, it's a slippery slope, that one.
Slippery. so to speak.
So to speak.
This became much more fun. I was worried about that game.
That was a fun game.
Okay, I'll ask you a question to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
So Dune is basically, I'm glad you saw Dune. Dune is basically white people discover Islam, right? Like, if you were to describe it to someone that doesn't understand the movie.
Yeah, there's definitely some.
Because there's that one scene where Paul just goes like, well, I did a bunch of drugs and now I am the Messiah. You know that's coming, right? I didn't spoil anything there, right?
No.
Okay, all right. Shit, I did kind of spoil Dune. It's been a few weeks. Anyways. So there's a lot of different types of white people though, right? So it's white people discover Islam. That was the context of that statement. What type of white people would be the least likely to have had the revelation that Muhammad did?
Oh. Quakers.
Oh, shit. I wasn't prepared for a good answer. I had sarcastic answers. I think you're right with the Quakers. I would say, I'll give you my real answer and then I'll tell you a couple of ones less likely. I feel a little uncomfortable saying this, but aside from the Quakers, I feel like it would have to have been the Germans. Out of all the Europeans, I feel like it's pretty likely to have been the Germans or the Norwegians, maybe, you know?
The compatibility there would be.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. Nietzsche and it doesn't quite.
Do you want to, I will say this. It can't be the Irish, right? Because of the no drinking. I don't think and it certainly isn't going to be the British because there's spice and warm temperatures involved.
Right. Yeah, definitely wouldn't be them.
All right, that's it. I got no more jokes.
All right, that was fun.
That was fun, man. That was another week of news.
Hell yeah. We had three shows this week, people.
Yeah, felt great. I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
All right, drive safe.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.